Let's talk some Oregon sports, football for sure, a little hoop, a little softball. We bring in the man who gets the trifecta as much as anyone. Find his work in the sports section of the Register Guard online, registerguard.com, the newer ducksports.com, and of course you can follow on Twitter. The handle is at RGDuckFootball. Welcome in Ryan Thorburn. Ryan, always a pleasure to catch up. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Steve. How are you doing?
I have no complaints. Nobody listens anyway. I want to get to the loss at Pullman. You know, we know the reputation of Martin Stadium, those fans. ESPN Game Day made their maiden voyage there. Logic said it was going to be a crazy scene. And it seemed the Ducks were a little flummoxed, barely able to survive that first offensive series. Be it the coaches, the players, what'd you hear this week about that awful start and just disaster of a first half?
Well, I'm still flummoxed over why they didn't think it was going to be loud there, and they had to change their cadence that first series, which really set the tone for a bad first half. They just weren't ready for the silent count, and it was too loud in front of the student section, and obviously a couple bad snaps and just a terrible start, down 27-0. So that's a little surprising that they weren't prepared for that environment. I think we all knew it was going to be crazy. Austin and I experienced it firsthand the night before, and it was just a great atmosphere, though. And I guess on a positive note, Oregon did fight back. If they could have got that Hail Mary at the end of the first half, who knows? But definitely disappointing if you're an Oregon fan, because that was a winnable game despite all of the pomp and circumstance.
You know, and under those circumstances, you know, you'd like to have a really strong performance by your offensive line, kind of quiet the crowd, get the team going. You mentioned the problems with the cadence and the count and the ability to run the ball. And I think against Washington, a lot was made of Capra and Throckmorton, who moved over from right to left, and Brady Aiello. Ryan, is it possible the emotion of the big win against Washington left some maybe not understanding the impact of losing Penei Sewell?
Yeah, I think so, because obviously the last play of the game against Washington, the last image we had of that reshuffled offensive line, they were opening up a huge hole for C.J. Verdell's winning touchdown. So they came in and did a great job in that game, but Penei Sewell is a special player to start as a true freshman at left tackle. He's already being compared to Tyrell Crosby and, you know, potentially even more dominant player. So I definitely think there's an adjustment to losing a player of that caliber. Although Brady Aiello does have a lot of experience, clearly he was beaten out by the younger guy.
Now, of course, it's Arizona, who's had limited production from Khalil Tate. He's been injured, had to start Rich Rodriguez kid, Rhett, in the eventual loss last week. The Cavs have not committed either way as we speak. So what's been the word among the guys and the coaches about who they expect to face, and are we doing the double preparation thing?
They are. I think they're expecting Khalil Tate, who sat out last weekend, to kind of rest that ankle that's been bothering him all season. I think it's easier to adjust to Rhett Rodriguez if you've been planning for Khalil Tate than the other way around. It's interesting because we all remember October Khalil from last year when he just caught fire. I think the six previous games to the Oregon game last year, he had rushed for something like 1,200 yards and 11 touchdowns. That game, obviously, Jim Leavitt had a great plan, shut him down. And since that game, he really hasn't done much at all, which is surprising, especially with Kevin Sumlin taking over that offense. So I think Oregon came up with a kryptonite for Khalil Tate, and it'll be interesting to see if he's ready to go try and turn that around.
Talking with Ryan Thorburn of the Register Guard, one story that's kind of driving me nuts this week, I think CBS Sports reported Justin Herbert leaning towards coming back to Oregon. My point was, beyond an injured player like Nick Bosa, have we ever heard a healthy guy in the middle of a season make this kind of decision public? You wrote about it. What did Justin himself have to say about all this?
Yeah, I mean, it's easy for a scout to say that he's heard this or that, and for an NFL reporter to report that. you know, I don't think you can put a lot of stock in that either way. I mean, clearly Justin said that he hasn't been thinking about it for, I think his quote was, even for 3 seconds, which was met with a lot of skepticism this week. You know, it's only natural to think about your future, especially when you're going to be possibly making tens of millions of dollars in the NFL. But I do believe that he is focused on this season and doing the best he can for Oregon. And then once that's over, he'll sit down and think about it, you know, in more detail. But it was interesting because when I tweeted that quote, a lot of people, including a lot of Washington fans, were pretty skeptical about it. But I did actually call his dad because he said he hadn't talked to his parents about it. And his dad said, no, when he comes home, we don't talk about that. We talk about fishing and our dogs, and we try and get away from football. So I think the family knows how big this decision is, and they're going to be patient with it and do their due diligence, and they'll come to a resolution in December or January.
I would love to be able to sit around with my family and ponder what the tens of millions that are coming my way. But since I just blew that lottery, I guess that's not going to happen. Anyway, a couple weeks ago, I noted the health of the team. And as you get towards midseason, I think the value of the coaches having the full complement of players at their disposal is really important. I should have probably just shut up because, you know, I mentioned Sewell, who's out. Who are some of the other Ducks that are maybe a little dinged up, and what might their status be for Saturday?
Yeah, Kalana Apelu, who led the team in tackles at Washington State, really a popular player, a leader, a senior. He's been dealing with some sort of injury, and he wasn't at practice during the portion we watch on Tuesday or Wednesday, but Mario Crispo said he's going to probably give it a go. So they're a little thin at linebacker right now. Austin Falu on the defensive line is questionable. So they do have two or three starters that are questionable, but overall I think you can say, given the nature of the sport and the violence of it, that they're in pretty decent shape. They still have Justin Herbert.
That's a good start. Well, let's move to softball because you wrote earlier this week about the two outstanding Ducks who announced they were leaving the program. And, of course, you know, we know Mike White is at Texas. And lo and behold, Miranda Ellis, Lauren Burke join him. And while the Oregon roster looks pretty strong, there's no way around. These are two great players. What do you think kind of jolt do you think this is for the new coach, Melissa Lombardi?
Well, I actually haven't met Melissa yet because I was on vacation when she was hired. And, you know, you do expect some attrition, and Mike White was so beloved by his players that, you know, I'm not surprised that a couple of them are going to go to Texas. But it's definitely a jolt in the sense that Moran Hellish is one of the best pitchers in the country, and Lauren Burke is a hometown hero who was emerging as a star on Oregon, and obviously hit those two home runs in the postseason last year. That was just a great moment at Jane Fanner Stadium. So it's definitely a hit, but, you know, with Maggie Ballant back, Megan Kleiss, they still have a strong team capable of winning the Pac-12, but, you know, talent is talent, and they're losing two really talented players.
Yeah, I agree. A couple final thoughts for Ryan Thorburn of the Register Guard. Women's hoop off the back-to-back Elite Eights. They got hit by the transfer bug. They lost one of their bigs in Mallory McGuire. And I know a couple weeks back they had that big event at Matt Knight Arena. I guess early impressions, the Notre Dame transfer, Erin Boley, and what kind of player she might be?
Oh, they love Erin Boley, and they love Taylor Chavez. Freshman guard. So it's interesting because they don't have a lot of depth. They have about 10 scholarship players this year. But Kelly Graves has talked to other coaches, including Gino Auriemma, and they tell him, once you go with a shorter roster, you'll never go back because the chemistry on the team is so good. Now, a lot of those transfers they had last year were talented players who weren't really in the rotation or not getting as many minutes as they thought they should have. But this year, I think all 8 to 10 players are really going to contribute, and the chemistry is going to be even better than last year, if that's possible.
Yeah, and you mentioned Taylor Chavez from Arizona. When I talked to Coach Graves, he said she has that kind of cutthroat nature similar to Sabrina. And I know it's very early and you probably have had limited time to see her. But, you know, what do you see about maybe the kind of impact she'll have right off?
Yeah, I had a chance to do a story on her earlier this season and talked to her mom and her high school coach and obviously Graves and a bunch of people. And what I noticed is she fits right in already. She was at their clinching game last year in Tucson when they won the Pac-12 regular season title. Kind of had a chance to celebrate a little bit with them, but, you know, outside the ropes instead of inside. And she's, being the only freshman, like I mentioned, they don't have a lot of depth. She's going to have a role on this team and gets to learn from Sabrina. So I think that's just a great thing, and she's going to help replace Lexi Bandel's three-point shooting and maybe help the defense be even stronger than it was last year.
Oh, good take. Folks, he's Ryan Thorburn. He doesn't have to drive this week. They're springing for a plane ticket to Tucson. Follow him on Twitter at RGDuckFootball. Hey, Ryan, I always appreciate your time and insight. You guys travel safe, and we'll catch up soon.
Anytime, Steve. Make sure you're following Austin on his Instagram, and we'll keep you updated on all of our whereabouts.
All right, we'll see if we run into Fireball Fred or somebody else this week. Have a good one, Ryan.